when we connect to supportive people, we are reminded that we are worthy and lovable just as we are.
Welcome to the Unconditionally Worthy podcast. In this podcast, I will guide you on your journey to connect with the true source of your self-worth. Each week, we'll discuss barriers to unconditional self-worth, the connection between self-worth and relationships, self-worth practices you can apply to your life, and how to use self-worth as a foundation for living courageously. I'm your host, Dr. Adia Gooden, a licensed clinical psychologist, dance enthusiast, and a dark chocolate lover who believes deeply that you are worthy unconditionally.
Hello, and welcome to episode 29 of the Unconditionally Worthy podcast. As always, I am so happy to have you here listening today. I'm recording this at the beginning of November, and Thanksgiving is about 2 weeks away. This episode will come out right after Thanksgiving, but I'm recording it just before Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I know that it has some pretty problematic history just related to the Native Americans and indigenous population of the United States. And I think what I sort of try to do is focus on the gratitude part. The reason that it is my favorite holiday is because it's one of the few holidays where you get together with friends and family and you have an amazing meal. And it's not about gifts or exchanging gifts or what you got or what you didn't get. It's really just about being together and being grateful for being able to be together, for having family, for having friends. And so it's my favorite holiday. So I'm really looking forward to it. My husband and I are going to DC, and we're going to be in DC with my family, and my aunt always hosts Thanksgiving. And so it'll be a really great time. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Last year, we were planning to go to DC for Thanksgiving and canceled our trip like a couple days before because of the pandemic and the fact that it was getting bad. And we just didn't want to risk the possibility of bringing COVID to my parents. And so we decided to stay in Chicago. And we just had like we ordered takeout from a vegan place and had a small Thanksgiving dinner on our own. And, you know, it was fine. We made do, but it really wasn't the sort of big Thanksgiving potluck gathering that I love so much. And so I'm so grateful that we get to get back to that this year. So, you know, speaking of connection, speaking of community, this episode is all about the importance of having community on your self-worth journey. And it's something that I think I don't talk about enough. So I really wanted to dive into why you need community on your self-worth journey in this episode. So low self-worth is lonely and isolating, right? When we feel unworthy, when we struggle with low self-worth, we walk around thinking that we're the only one struggling with low self-worth. And we're scared to talk about it with our friends and family because the fear is that, what if it's true, right? The fear is that we might say, you know, I really struggle with feeling worthy. I really don't feel like I'm good enough. And someone will be like, well, that makes sense because you're not worthy, right? Like that's the fear that we hold. And I think for so many of us, there's sort of this contrast. I know this is certainly true for me, but there's this contrast between what things look like on the outside, right? How it looks like we may have it together or things are going well, or we may even look confident on the outside. There's a disconnect between that and how we feel on the inside, right? And so our friends, our family members, our colleagues may assume that we're fine, right? They may assume that we're good, that there's nothing wrong with us, that we have it together. But on the inside, we might really feel isolated and alone and struggle to feel worthy. I know I really felt alone during many of the years when I was struggling with low self-worth. And looking back on it, I'm not sure that I talked to any of my friends or my family about how unworthy and unlovable I felt. Like, I don't think I had any conversations about this, right? So I didn't tell people that I was struggling with this. And I was very good at making it look like I had it all together and not asking for help, figuring it out on my own, or at least trying to. And so I think that a lot of my friends and my family had the perception that I was just fine, right? That I was doing well, that there was nothing really wrong, because I wasn't really telling people how I was feeling. I was hiding it. And I think they just assumed, okay, she's in graduate school. You know, she has her life together in general. Nothing seems to be falling apart. She's fine. I don't have to worry about her, right? You know, when you see these posts about, you know, make sure you check on your strong friends, right? Like, I was that friend, right? That friend who probably needed to be checked on, who was really good at making it seem like everything was just fine. And it took me a really long time to ask for help. You know, eventually I went to therapy. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that story in an upcoming episode. So stay tuned for that. But even when I went to therapy, it took me a long time to really open up, to really be honest about what I was struggling with. I think I spent the first 3 months in therapy acting like I had everything together, even with my therapist, right? So even in a space where you're sort of supposed to be vulnerable and you're supposed to talk about the things that you're struggling with, the things that are going on for you, I still didn't do that immediately. And you know, I think therapy is wonderful. And it provides a support, but receiving support from one person who you have a one-sided relationship with for 50 hours a week is not the same as having a community, is not the same as having sort of a larger supportive space or community or group of people that you can turn to. And the thing is that if we don't have that, we just end up struggling on our own. Right. And I would love to say that I found community during my self-worth journey. And there are some ways in which I did, but I didn't really have a space where I could be honest about my struggles with low self-worth. And I didn't really have a space where I was truly vulnerable and allowed other people to pour into me, to remind me that I was worthy just as I was, because I was so busy trying to perform and prove that I was good enough, that even if people did affirm me, the message that I received was, okay, I got to keep doing these things, right? If I keep doing these things, then I'll continue to be likable and I'll be lovable and maybe they'll accept me, right? And so I didn't find or create space for myself where I could just be the full, raw, vulnerable Adia that was struggling. And this isn't to say that I didn't have friends, because I had some really good friends. And there were some friends where I sort of began to develop a more authentic relationship with and felt like I could be more honest with. But I am a helper. I'm an Enneagram 2, right? Like, I love helping people. And so even in those relationships, I had, and sometimes still do have, the tendency to want to shift the focus, right? Like, I don't let the conversation be about me for too long before I'm like, okay, what about you? How can I support you? How can I help you? And so I think all of those sort of dynamics and patterns contributed to me feeling isolated and alone, even though I had friends, right? Even though I had some community support. Me not sharing what I was struggling with, or not feeling like I could, not feeling like there was a space for that, meant that I wasn't fully opening up. And part of the reason that I'm so committed to guiding you on your self-worth journey and creating a community of support is because I don't want you to have to go it alone like I did, right? I really think that when we're going through this type of journey alone, right? When we're trying to heal and grow and truly embrace our unconditional self-worth, and we're doing it all on our own, I just think that it makes it take longer and it makes the journey harder. And it really does not have to be that way. So let's talk about what does community provide, right? You might be wondering, right? Like, why do I need community, right? One of the questions that I have gotten, right, about the community connection aspects of my programs is, I don't want to be in a group where we're just all complaining, or I don't think that's going to be helpful, or I'm too embarrassed or too ashamed to share what I'm going through or share what I've struggled with, right? That is a common thing that I have talked to people about and people have concerns about. And I think there's a number of things that are really powerful about community. So one is there is something really powerful about sharing your story honestly and having other people respond, which they always do, and say, I've gone through something similar, or wow, I can see why that was so painful or so difficult for you. Or, you know, I had this experience and here's what I did and here's how it helped me. Or just like, I feel you, I see you. I'm not running away in shock and horror, right? I see you as a human being. That is a powerful experience. And that's a lot of what we do in individual therapy. And it has a different potency when it's happening in community, when it isn't a trained professional, right? And the therapeutic relationship is powerful, but there's a different level of impact when you're getting this support, when you're getting this empathy, when you're getting this compassion from your peers versus from a professional. And so that's one of the things that being in community, being an intentional community related to growth, related to personal development, related to your self-worth journey can really do. The other thing is that, you know, one of the four practices that I outlined in my TEDx talk, which is important for cultivating or connecting to your unconditional self-worth, is connecting to supportive people, right? So in my TEDx talk that I did in 2018, I talked about four practices. I talked about being there for yourself, which, you know, now I talk a lot about self-compassion, which I think is a big way that you can practice being there for yourself. I talked about accepting yourself, talked about self-forgiveness. And then I also talked about connecting to supportive people. And, you know, when we connect to supportive people, we are reminded that we are worthy and lovable just as we are. And there can be times when it's hard to connect to our sense of worthiness, when we forget the truth of who we are, and we need people in our lives to show up for us and love us and affirm our worthiness implicitly and explicitly. And community does that, right? When we have a safe, supportive group of people that we are growing alongside and learning alongside, that allows us to have people who bear witness to the challenges and say, I still see you. I still love you, right? You're still wonderful. I'm still here for you, right? And that those are the reminders that are so essential for us on our journeys to embrace our unconditional self-worth, especially when we're not all the way there yet. And even when we get there, when we need reminders, right? When we lose touch or lose sight or experiencing a challenging transition or something's come up and we're, you know, returning to old patterns, right? To have other people there to hold the space, to remind us of who we are is incredibly powerful. And this is really what community provides, right? People who show up for you and with you, even in the hardest times of your life, right? People who love you and remind you that you're worthy of love no matter what you do or have done. And one of the things that's important is actually allowing yourself to receive this support, right? Because a lot of people who struggle with low self-worth, and I know this is very true for me, also struggle with receiving love and allowing themselves to receive love. Because if you don't feel worthy of love, then it's harder to let it in. And this is actually something that we talk about in the Unconditionally Worthy program, which is sort of opening up, learning to receive love and cultivate authentic relationships that are not weighed down by needing to prove your worth or hide from other people because you feel that if you showed your true self, you wouldn't be worthy. And
I mentioned earlier that I felt alone in my self-worth journey. And that wasn't because I didn't have friends, right? I had a lot of friends, but I was hiding from them. I wasn't really telling them what was going on for me. And that meant that they couldn't really show up for me. So in order to take advantage of community and to receive support from others, you do have to be open and honest about what you're struggling with. And that doesn't mean you tell all of your business to everyone, right? That could be oversharing, but it does mean that in a safe and supportive community or group or trusted group of friends or family, that you are willing to be open and vulnerable enough to share what's going on for you. Because a lot of times when we're struggling, we are struggling alone, and then we can sometimes get frustrated and resentful that people are not showing up for us in the way that we need them to. But the reality is that we're not really telling them what's going on, right? We're not really communicating, I'm struggling, I need your help, I need your support, right? And so if you do not tell people what you need, the likelihood that they will meet your needs is low, right? So many of us sort of operate this way in friendships and certainly in romantic relationships where we think that the other person should anticipate our needs, know what we need, swoop in, give it to us without having to ask, right? And that is just unrealistic. Now, sometimes you will ask, right? And you'll say, hey, I need your support. I need your help at this time. And sometimes people don't show up, right? Sometimes people don't step up. And then you have some clarity around the type of friendship that you can have with that person and the level of support that person is willing and able to provide. But a lot of times we're not telling people what we need. And therefore, we're not setting them up to be able to help us in the way we most need help. And so a piece of this is finding community. We're going to talk a little bit more later about how you can do this. But another important piece is being open and receptive and being vulnerable with people that you trust and letting them know when you need support, because support is incredible, right? When we need it most, when we're able to take it in, it really does remind us that we're worthy, just as we are. And for some of us who don't believe that about ourselves, or if you don't believe that about yourself, yeah, it's going to feel a little uncomfortable, but I encourage you to take it in because it really makes a difference. So one of the things I wanted to share with you is one of the times I have really witnessed the power of community. So when I worked at the University of Chicago in their counseling center, one of my favorite things was that I created and facilitated a women of color group. And it was called Nurturing Each Other and Healing Ourselves. And so this group was for undergraduate and graduate students. Everybody, you know, in the group identified as a woman, person of color, BIPOC. And it really was an incredible group. And the group provided strategies and exercises and support to group members. A lot of the things that I share with you all here, I shared with the group members. But the real magic of the group was providing a space where the group members, all who were high achieving women of color, right? All these women of color who went to one of the top ranked universities in the United States, right? Who looked like everything, they had everything together on the outside, right? Providing this space for them to be vulnerable and honest and open with each other about their challenges and their struggles, and to realize that they were not alone, right? So many of them felt isolated and alone on this campus, on this predominantly white institution's campus. And to have this space, right, where they could connect, where it was safe to be vulnerable and to be honest, where they could receive support from each other, where they could be empowered to support other people in the group. It was really incredible. It was really transformative for the group members. And it was amazing to witness the growth and development of each group member and the group collectively, and to see how they connected and showed each other support and encouraged each other and shared their personal wisdom. And I think one of the things that was powerful was for people to feel, the group members to feel empowered by the fact that, no, they didn't know everything. No, they weren't a trained professional, but they did have wisdom and insights that they could share with their fellow group members that were incredibly helpful. And so it was such a wonderful space. And as I mentioned before, one of the concerns I often hear when I'm sort of creating a group is, it's going to be just negative, or it's just going to be complaining, or it's not going to help me to share my experiences with other people. And I think these are common concerns because, you know, the group space, like whether that's group coaching or group therapy, is a unique space. It's very different than how most of us operate in our day-to-day lives with our family or with our friends, right? Like most of us are not sort of operating and engaging in super vulnerable spaces where, you know, you share very vulnerably, where everybody is sort of in it for their own personal growth and rooting for you, right? Like it is a different kind of space. And so I think people get concerned that it's going to look like a bunch of complaining, or it's going to look like people using your weaknesses against you, or it's going to look like, you know, someone saying, oh, that's not a big problem, like get over it, right? That's sort of the fear. But with facilitation, and I got to say, I'm a pretty good group facilitator, you find that there is just such a beautiful connection and community that can be developed, right? Around shared vision, shared goals, around, you know, ensuring that everybody is safe. And that's something that I feel really passionate about. More recently, when I launched the Unconditionally Worthy course in the spring, we had weekly group connection calls. And for the course members who were able to make these calls, it was a really wonderful space. And people could be vulnerable, receive support, affirmation, receive coaching from me, share their own wisdom and insights, cheer each other on. And it really was a powerful space for growth and transformation. And I'll tell you a little bit more about this later, but that partly because my past experience facilitating groups and the experience with the Unconditionally Worthy course in the spring, I'm transitioning the Unconditionally Worthy program to really be centered around the group coaching because I know it's so powerful. So let's talk a little bit about how you can find support and community on your self-worth journey. I hope I've convinced you by now that finding community or some sort of support in your self-worth journey is essential. You do not need to go on this journey alone. And in fact, if you try to go it alone, it's going to be harder, it's going to be longer, and it doesn't have to be that way. And so you might be wondering where you can find some support. And I have a few ideas. First, consider opening up to a close, trusted friend about what you're going through, about your struggles with low self-worth, and see if they're able to show up and support you in a way that feels helpful. Maybe talk about creating an intentional relationship, an intentional friendship where you all support each other in your personal growth and hold each other accountable and encourage each other along the journey. I really encourage you to be thoughtful about the friends that you choose, right? To pay attention to what your dynamic is like already. Does it feel like a really supportive, caring, encouraging dynamic? Does it feel like a dynamic where it's more like joking and laughing and partying and, you know, making fun of each other, right? So be thoughtful about choosing a friendship that's in line with the type of conversations that you want to have, because it's important to remember that you might have some amazing friends who don't have the emotional capacity to hold this type of space for you and to be with you in this type of work, right? So just be thoughtful about who you choose. You might also, if you're spiritual or religious and connected to a spiritual religious community, you might also find a space connected to that community. It's important that that community not use shame or judgment as a tactic to get people to do the right thing or judge you if you have, you know, doubts about yourself or your faith or anything like that. Like it's important that it be really an open, supportive, accepting community. But I do think that religious and spiritual communities can be very helpful spaces for personal growth because they're often spaces where you can have more vulnerable conversations about the things you're struggling with and ask for prayer requests and talk about life challenges together. So that might be another source of support. And then, as I mentioned, group therapy can be a great option. And I think a lot of times people are apprehensive or wary about group therapy, as I've mentioned. And, you know, while individual therapy is great, I do individual therapy, I don't think it truly provides the community and connection that I'm talking about here, right? As a therapist, I can only affirm and support and encourage my clients so much. And it's only for 50 minutes once a week, right? And maybe once every other week. And you really need some other people there reinforcing you and supporting you, right? And so finding a group therapy group could also be very helpful. And then the other thing I want to mention and then put a plug in is, you know, doing a group coaching program. I think the benefits of participating in a group coaching program are that it's an intentional community where everybody is part of the group because they have the same purpose, right? And so in the communities I'm creating, the purpose is, you know, going on your self-worth journey and embracing your unconditional self-worth. And there's also some structure to support the conversations, to support the community, to support the progress, right? Some of the other resources that I've talked about for community support, they're not going to have the same structure, right? As maybe a group therapy program that has a specific focus or as a group coaching program. So I mentioned earlier that I'm transforming my Unconditionally Worthy course into a group coaching program because I really want community support to be at the center of it. And I want to increase the amount of support that I can give everybody who's enrolled in the program. So when you enroll, you still get access to the course that I created, which is 7 modules that are incredibly valuable that guide you step by step on embracing your unconditional self-worth. And then in addition to the course, there's also weekly group coaching calls that enable you to get support directly from me, connect to other course members who are on the same journey, and the program will last a little bit longer than it did before. And so this really is an opportunity to not only get the content, right? Not only get the practices, not only get the sort of the information about what, you know, what direction should you be going on this self-worth journey, but to also get the community support and the accountability, right? Because it's easy to lose our way on this journey. Took me years and years and years, far longer than it needs to, right? Because I didn't have a clear path. I didn't have a clear direction. It's easy to stop putting ourselves first and start putting everything and everyone else first. But when we have an intentional community, when we have structure, when we have support, when we have other people who are with us on the journey, that supports us in making big strides and being accountable to ourselves for the progress that we really want to make. And so I'm super excited about shifting the program in this way. And, you know, there's limited space. So that's the other thing is that I'm capping the number of people who can enroll in the program to make sure that I can provide as much support and encouragement as possible to those who invest in the program and decide that they're really committed to their self-worth journeys. So the program is going to open up again. It's going to start again in January. If it's something you're interested in, if you're like, yeah, you know what? I've been trying to go this alone. I've been listening to the podcast. I've been, you know, reading these books, but I need some more support and accountability. And you know that you're interested. You can sign up for the waiting list at dradiagooden.com/learn-from-dr-Adia. So it'll be linked in the show notes. So just open the show notes wherever you are. You can complete that form and go ahead and let me know that you're interested. And so you'll be the first to know when the doors open. So I hope this has encouraged you. I hope that this has been a reminder that we're really not meant to go on these self-worth journeys alone, that community is really a powerful part of the journey that helps us to embrace our unconditional self-worth. I hope that, you know, getting into the holiday season, if you are in the US, is feeling good for you and that you're taking good care of yourself. So until next time, I hope you are well.
Thanks for joining me this week on the Unconditionally Worthy podcast. Make sure to visit my website, dradiagooden.com. and subscribe to the show on iTunes so you'll never miss an episode. You can also follow me on social media at Dr. Adia Gooden. If you love the show, please leave a review on iTunes so we can continue to bring you amazing episodes. Lastly, if you found this episode helpful and know someone who might benefit from hearing it, please share it. Thanks for listening and see you next episode. This episode was produced by Chris and Tiana, and the music is by Wadaboy.